A reading from the second book of Kings. Naaman went down and plunged into the Jordan 7 times at the word of Elijah, the man of God. His flesh became like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean of his leprosy. Naaman returned with his whole retinue to the man of God. On his arrival, he stood before Elisha and said, "Now I know that there is no God in all of earth except in Israel. Please accept a gift from your servant." Elisha replied, "As the Lord lives in whom I serve, I will not take it." And despite Naaman's urging, he still refused. Naaman said, "If you will not accept, please let me, your servant, have 2 mule loads of earth, for I will no longer offer holocaust or sacrifice to any other god except the Lord." The word of the Lord.
The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. Oh, sing a new song to the Lord, for he has worked wonders, his right hand and his holy arm have brought salvation. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. The Lord has made known his salvation, has shown his deliverance to the nations. He has remembered his merciful love and his truth for the house of Israel. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Shout to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing out your praise. The Lord has revealed to the nations his saving power.
A reading from the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy. Beloved, remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. Such is my gospel, for which I am suffering, even to the point of chains, like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I bear with everything for the sake of those who are chosen, so that they too may obtain the salvation that is in Jesus Christ, together with eternal glory. This saying is trustworthy. If we have died with him, we shall also live with him. If we persevere, we shall also reign with him. But if we deny him, he will deny us. If we are unfaithful, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. In all circumstances give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus.
The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. As Jesus continued his journey to Jerusalem, he traveled through Samaria and Galilee. As he was entering a village, 10 lepers met him. They stood at a distance from him and raised their voices, saying, "Jesus, Master, have pity on us." And when he saw them, he said, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And as they were going, they were cleansed. One of them, realizing that he had been healed, returned glorifying God in a loud voice. He fell at the feet of Jesus and thanked him. He was a Samaritan. Jesus said in reply, 10 were cleansed, were they not? Where are the other 9? But none but this foreigner has returned to give thanks to God. Then he said to him, "Stand up and go. Your faith has saved you." The Gospel of the Lord. If you are a senior citizen in your 80s, or even in your 90s, or close to 90, I think you'll enjoy this little vignette that I have to tell you. Sister Jean Delora Schmidt passed away. Now, if you don't remember Sister Jean, she died on Friday. They announced it, that she had passed away. If you don't remember her, at the age of 98, she came to attention because she was the chaplain, the coach of the Loyola Chicago basketball team. And so she kind of like rose because of her age, the prominence, you know, prominence with that. And she died yesterday. She was 106 years old. So I was thinking about that. I said, you know, and I said to my sister, I says, "Do you know?" I says, "That's how old Grandma would have been, 106." And I said, you know, so that tells any person of age that you matter and that your life is how you live it. And Sister Jean Dolores lived her life to the fullest. Our gospel and our readings today is about returning and giving thanks. You know, yesterday at Mass, yesterday here, the sun was shining through these stained glass windows as it was getting evening and going down. This morning at St. John's, it's gotten a little cloudy now. Welcome to Ohio. But it has gotten a little cloudy, but the coronation window, and we were singing the Gloria this morning, and that sun was just blazing through that window. And it's about giving thanks. A couple of weeks ago, I made mention to you of Mrs. Kirk, you know, Charlie Kirk's wife and widow. And she got up at her husband's funeral and said three words that we can say to each other, but for some of us, those three words are the most difficult in the human language. "I forgive you." And that when she said that, hopefully for some people whose hearts are not moved a stone like some people in our nation these days, including our president, dare I say, to say, I forgive you, is the summit and source of what it is means to be a Christian. And the Eucharist is the summit and source of our life, and I'll get to that word Eucharist in a minute. And those words that she said, I forgive you, probably moved a lot of people that we don't even know of. You know, the comedian, actor, comedian Tim Allen, this is what he said. He said this on one of the shows. He says, you know, my father was killed over 60 years ago. 60 years ago, and I was unmoved. I couldn't forgive. I couldn't forgive that person. I couldn't forgive the murderer of my father. But when I heard her so bravely speak those words, I forgive you, for some reason, something in my heart moved. Something in my heart moved that I was able to let all of that go. I was able to let my anger, my hatred go. Archbishop Joseph Nauman is just recently retired Archbishop of Kansas City in Kansas. And Archbishop Nauman said to the Kirk family, especially to his widow, he said to them, and this was also an article, and you can read it, my own father was murdered. And I pray that the Kirk family can eventually find healing as I found forgiveness and healing. Try to explain that away. You can't explain that away with a mother. We have several parents here with small children today. You can't explain that away with, and that these two small kids are going to grow up now without a father. How can you return and give thanks? A foreign leper is cleansed. And in thanksgivings, he offers and returns homage to the God of Israel. We hear the same story in the first reading today and also in the gospel today. There were many lepers in the time of Elisha, in Elisha's time, but only Naaman the Syrian trusted in God's word and was cleansed. And so what does he do? With his cleansing, he goes and he gives thanks to God. Today's gospel likewise implies that most of the 10 lepers, most of them were Israelites that were healed by Jesus. But only one, a foreigner, the Samaritan returned. A foreigner. And the gospel is clear about that. He returned. So in a dramatic way, we are being shown today how faith has been made the way to salvation, the road by which all the nations will join themselves to the Lord, becoming the Lord's servants, gathered with the Israelites into the one chosen people of God, that is the church. Today's psalm also looks forward to the day when all peoples will see what Naaman sees. And what does Naaman see? That there is no God on the earth except the God of Israel. And we see this day arriving in today's gospel. The Samaritan leper is the only person in the New Testament, the only person in the New Testament that is recorded who personally thanks Jesus. And hence the word, the Greek word used to describe his giving thanks is the word that we translate as Eucharist, Eucharistia, Eucharist. And these lepers today reveal to us the inner dimensions of the Eucharist and sacramental life. They show us the inner dimensions of the Eucharist and sacramental life. How? Because we too have been healed by our faith in Jesus. As Naaman's flesh is made pure again, like a little child, our souls have been cleansed by the waters of baptism. We experience this cleansing again and again in the sacrament of penance as we repent of our sins. And we beg and receive mercy from our Master, Jesus. We return to glorify God at each Mass, to offer ourselves in sacrifice, falling on our knees before our Lord and giving thanks for our salvation. You know, folks, it's not that difficult to do that. But you know, sometimes for people, it can be hard. On Friday, I went back to the seminary. I took a bunch of diocesan history books for the library, and I went to go see my spiritual director, and I've been friends with that librarian who's going to retire too at the end of the year. And, you know, he is always very happy to get some of the books that I give to him for the library, because some of them are very rare, and they reflect the history that I enjoy. And he gave me a nice compliment, and he says, you know, we have so much wonderful history books because of you. Where do you get all your books that you have? I says, I've been around. You know, you get them from various places and so on. And I, after a while, I want to share them. And so when I was cleaning off the one shelf, this one book came off called The Plummeted Heart. It's by Antoinette Bosco. And she was a grandmother. She died about 5 years ago. She was a Catholic journalist, writer for many years. She wrote several books about healing and helping yourself. And here is a grandmother who lost a son. She lost a son to suicide. She lost another son and a daughter-in-law who were murdered in their home. And she could rightfully shake her fist at the Lord and be angry. But she wasn't. She used her writing, she used the gift of writing to share with the people that God can forgive. There's a quote in the book by a priest, one of her priest friends, and the quote says, pain is okay, but it hurts. Now, just dissect that sentence just for a minute. If you have back pain, if you have arthritis, if you have any kind of muscle pain, if you have mental pain, mental anguish, somebody's giving you trouble and you can't let it go, that's pain. Mental illness that we see, many of you probably see I see it too, on the streets of our city. Many people who are mentally ill and the effects of severe drug use for some people. You know, that it gets, you know, pain is real. It's a necessary part of our lives, but it hurts. It hurts. So how do we go and how do we solve our pain? With what we hear today, with the faith of the Lord and with the Eucharist and receiving God, Christ indwelling within us. That's the only way, folks, for us to keep going and to go forward. Because what we're hearing from out there and the emptiness of the messages that are out there. But guess what? There's places in Europe, slowly but surely, that the church is growing again. You know, in places in Germany and Austria, France that used to be the eldest daughter of the church. A lot of our young people are tired of the emptiness that the world, having things are okay. If you have a boat, if you have a nice house, I'm not saying anything like that. No, that's okay to have. But when that becomes your slave, when you don't have Christ in your life, and people are searching, all of us here know people that are searching. Some of them have gotten mad at the church and say, I don't go to mass anymore. I don't go to the church anymore. I don't go to church anymore. You have to work through that anger. Work through the anger. And go and approach it with faith. And as adults, maybe as a mom and dad or as a grandparent, you can accompany your grandchild, accompany your child, and say, I'm going to Mass. Maybe it's been a while. Why don't you come with me? Why don't you come with me and go? You know, and we come to Mass because we come to glorify God and to pray to Jesus, not to glorify ourselves, to offer ourselves in sacrifice. And maybe that's what some of our young people really are searching for today. You know, the world and everything in it is not necessarily bad. It's not necessarily evil. We do have bad people, evil in the world. But we can overcome evil by doing good. We are the ones that have to do good. We have to be like Mrs. Kirk and say sometimes, I forgive you. In this Eucharist, we remember Jesus Christ raised from the dead. He is a descendant of David, Israel's covenant king. Israel's covenant king. And as we pray, as Paul prayed in today's epistle, to persevere in this faith. And believe you me, today it takes a lot of perseverance and effort to stay with it and to stay strong. And this, you're hearing this not only from me, your priest, but you're hearing it from a person who is also living it and struggling with it himself as well. Persevere in the faith that all of us, we too, may live with Christ and reign with him in eternal glory. Amen. God bless you.